Brooks. Whether he is playing or not, we've no idea. But if he does or doesn't, as I said, I have an interview from a long time ago. Just sort of puts you into perspective of what the guy is, just in terms of his whole career and all the rest. I'm going to give you just a tiny bit of it now, just in case he doesn't come. But if tomorrow never comes, then I might just still play it in a few weeks' time anyway. Anyway, where was I? Yes, a little bit of Gareth. So here's me talking to Gareth a long time ago. Gareth, first of all, welcome to Ireland. And it's been a long time. People have been waiting to see you for a good deal of time. Had you heard about Ireland in a big way in terms of this is a great place for country music?
Well, I'd seen the charts and I'd seen, you know, what we'd done. And then we'd been working with the Dream Chaser guys for like 2 months before, you know, the last part of the American part of the tour. And they'd been telling us, you know, what to expect because they're from over here. But got to be honest, man, they told us to expect a lot, but I was shocked the first night in the point there. That was a big night for me.
Right. There are people who'd put you into this new country category, this supposed sort of all these new stars bringing country music to millions of new people. But there is one thing about your music that's different than all of theirs, and I think that you go back a little bit further. You're a bit more traditional than a lot of these supposed new ones. Would you accept that?
Well, yeah, I mean, some of my stuff is, and some of my stuff isn't. So, you know, a lot of it's due to the influences like Jones and Strait out of the country field, but a lot of influences too, like the James Taylors, you know, the Billy Joels, Elton John. I mean, even our live show is more influenced by the rock bands, like Queen, you know, Kansas, you know, Kiss, those people like that, the big theater bands.
Well, do you think with that live show that you saw a niche in the market, you saw there was a hole there in the market, that people wanted country music, didn't necessarily like the way it was presented, and you saw a new way, a new exciting way for the 90s to present it to people?
Well, I just saw that the crowd was having a lot of fun and it didn't seem like the band got to have as much fun. So I think a lot of that was because they were tied down, you know, to the hardwire mics, the hardwire guitars.
Yeah.
And the wireless systems and the headset mics have just totally freed us up to be part of the crowd. So actually, instead of a crowd coming to see a band, it's just a bunch of people and a bunch of people getting together and just partying for, you know, 2 hours. And it's much more that atmosphere than one performing for the other.
Do you think in some ways that your advertising degree has been a good help in terms of putting you across to people?
That's a good question. I told my dad, you know, I said, man, I've never used my degree. I've never made a dime off my degree. And my dad said, I'm sure you use your degree every day and just, you know, don't realize it. And I'm sure he's probably right. But as far as ever working, you know, as one, I never thought of it. My idea of marketing is simply treat people the way I want to be treated. Good quality product for a low price, and hopefully their money's worth on everything from concessions to shows to CDs.
Mm. But your dad also once said to you that things that come quick can go quick.
Sure.
Now, one of the quickest things that came in the 90s is Garth Brooks.
Right.
So do you still think of that little phrase? Do you have it written over your bed at night or anything?
Sure. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, at the end of the 90s we look back and it says, you know, one of the quickest things that came, one of the quickest things that went. You know, because I can't complain if it does happen that way, because I sure as hell wasn't complaining when it was coming. So I'm enjoying the front half of it, and we'll see what the back half has to offer.
About sort of 8 or 9 years ago, just let's say around 86 direction, you were probably at your lowest in terms of what you wanted to do with your life. Things weren't going too well. Now, one of the things that anybody has to do with country music, no matter where they come from, you're Oklahoma, you go to Nashville. Were you disappointed with Nashville? Did you see Nashville not as a music town you had been told it was, but more as a business town?
Sure. And that's exactly what it is. I believe it was August or September of 1985, I made my first trip to Nashville, thinking that, you know, record contracts grew on trees and thinking it was some kind of like, you know, the Emerald City and the Wizard of Oz. And it's not that way. It's a very business-oriented town, very serious town. And all my time, I've only used, you know, music up to that point. I'd only used music, one, for fun, and two, also for, you know, dating girls and stuff. I mean, it was never used as a business. And when you get to Nashville, man, it's just numbers and buildings.
It's just numbers, indeed. Okay, that's just a little bit of that. It might give you more of that in a few weeks' time. So it does go into the full story of the man himself from a long, long time ago. The man himself, I'm talking about him now. The great Garth. Will he or won't he be playing here? Anyway, we'll go from that. I'll give you one of these because it's the song, really, I suppose, in some ways. Yee-hee.